Okay, well, go ahead.
So I was looking at evolution, and as the Fundies hit it, man from monkey, but then it hit me that man has been evolving for at least a million years, probably several.
Uh-huh.
But let's just take a last million years. What would, looking at other species, how they've evolved, specialized physiological and social context. So what has man evolved over the last million years that makes them sort of different and special? Well, number one is intelligence, which the other animals haven't done too well at. But there's other things, like physiological, the body. Let's take a woman's sex organs. Where are they? They're on the outside of the body. What is used for procreation is insertion inside the body. But there's two parts of sex. One is psychological, the other is physiological. Without the psychological portion of it for intercourse, women really don't get pleasure from intercourse.
I'm pretty psychological too. I had this beautiful guy over, got all naked and everything. I wasn't interested.
Yeah.
Only because his approach to me was very abrupt. And he's the type of person, if you went to nudist colony, he'd love you to be all horny. With me, I'd be doing absolutely no interest.
Yeah.
Okay, so that happens.
Physiological end of it. Now, I was reading an article here over a year or so ago that the first use of electricity in New York City when Edison started his electric company was doctors.
Women's dildos.
Yes. Electric dildos. Women up to that time knew nothing about orgasm whatsoever because of the way the society was set up.
Yeah.
And the doctors along Fifth Avenue made fortunes giving women treatment every week to bring them to an orgasm. So when you come right down to it, then looking at that, that insertion for procreation is not pleasure for women. Now that's another thing that man has developed that most animals have it. There are a few, dolphins and bono apes, a few, enjoy the pleasure of sex. But something that almost every animal species has is the female chooses who she's going to mate with. Okay, now let's take a man again. Let's take a male. They have two main, other than psychological, they have two main sex organs. That's the glans of the penis. And the, I don't want to mispronounce this, I'm accusing this.
Prostate gland?
Prostate.
Prostate, okay.
Yeah, prostate means level well.
Yeah. Which seems to be a correlation.
Yeah. So you come right down to it, that, and also, you and I have had the discussion about circumcision. Well, without circumcision, if you take anal intercourse, and even actually vaginal intercourse, what the penis does when it's whole is forms its own tubular area to move in.
Right.
So there would be almost no friction on the anus at all if you have anal intercourse. Also, I was reading this the other day where it's amazing how many women, when they lose their virginity, also get pierced through to the anus because the penis of circumcised men is so numb that it doesn't know the difference. So look at these, just look at these two facts of the way people are built. Now let's go back and look at the societies that we know something about before they were perverted by Western or European thought. You take the islands, the South Sea Islands, you take in North America, we do have some records. And inevitably, or invariably, the males live with the males, the females live with the females, the females get with the male when they want to procreate.
Even our modern Western society is essentially homoerotic. They just are in denial about it. Most of the way people congregate is men with men and women with women. So
right.
We're not far removed from that. We're just in denial about it.
And it's only been, this has only been that way, this denial started, about 4,000 years ago, which is just a drop in the bucket in the evolution of time. And so here we are with this supposedly society of one man, one woman, man only has sex with that one woman.
They have to keep enforcing it too, because all over we're putting our faces, women's tits and asses everywhere and heads and stuff.
Constantly reinforced.
It's very oppressive. As if they were afraid if they stopped for one moment, everyone would switch to being gay or at least bisexual.
And I think that's their big fear. Yes. Because,
well, they're right, though.
Those Bundys aren't stupid.
No, they're right that if they let their guard down with heterocentrism, most people would become gay. Most people don't want to be forced to have children, forced to exhaust themselves earning money to support the family.
Well, now, a good thing in the Middle Ages, or later Middle Ages, for men of power, is that by using only one woman, she usually died quite young from childbirth.
Mm-hmm.
Then he could get another young one. And if you look at the record, they would go through four or five of them at least.
Yeah, yeah. Well, those were more brutal times, too. But I think the idea of raising children or perpetrating the species can also be a community effort, so that people who want a partner, they do it out of companionship without any obligation to breed. If they want to breed, it's the decision of the community whether we are ready or not to have a new addition to our family.
The elephants are very wise on that. There again, males stay with males, females stay with females.
You might have a chocolate bar with you.
And they usually don't have a offspring but every 5 to 9 years.
Uh-huh.
And if you come right down to it, now I have two sides to this. Number one, for a million years, the societies that mankind spread across the world, and the societies apparently population-wise stayed very stable,
mm-hmm.
probably quite prosperous, probably with an abundance, except when natural disasters hit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when mankind started grouping with men owning women and that sort of thing, that did bring about what we call civilization, or civilization as we know it. It brought about writing, architecture. Would it have happened without that? I don't know.
Also, there's been a significant deterioration in one's overall health when we switch from hunting and gathering to agriculture. So with the gains also came some losses. Or just like when you said Western society's attitude, also, Western society has contributed many valuable things. You were talking about the dark side, some aspect of the dark side of Western society. Because I think every culture has very good things to offer and also has some bad things, too.
Well, the interesting thing of, I was doing a little bit of study on China, that every emperor except one had a male lover, at least one. He also had a harem of women for dynastic purposes.
Oh, yeah.
But his affection was always toward a male.
Right, right. What else I find intriguing is that Judeo-Christian God is the only God I know of in all the cultures of humanity that does not have a female consort. But they all seem to ignore that.
Well, I think... Now, there again, I think that female consort didn't happen with the gods until about 3,000 years, 4,000 years ago.
How old was Hinduism?
Hinduism, they're not sure.
Because Krishna definitely had female consort, and so did the other gods and goddesses.
But were those added later?
I don't know.
I think so.
Okay. We do not see, any of the texts in the public do not show Krishna or having any homosexual affairs, although one is rather suspicious with his relationship with Prince Arjuna. But, you know.
Well, now, if you look at the rock carvings, mm-hmm. of Hinduism, there's a lot of homosexuality, eroticism.
We have